Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Boys, I'm mellow as a honeydew. Yeah. That cat is high. Look that look in his eye. Oh, man, he's high. Yes, higher than a kite.
Welcome back to the Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte. In the studio today, childhood friend, a friend of mine for the last 2 years, we've got Jay Zimmerman in from the new bar, Basic, in Williamsburg at 323 Graham between Metropolitan and DeVoe.
That's right.
A beautiful place. Congratulations on opening it.
Thank you, man. Thank you. You were one of the very first people to enjoy a drink there, so I appreciate you coming by.
One of the very first people to enjoy lots of drinks there. Yeah. So before this, you were working at many notable cocktail bars and places around the city. You were doing brand work with Plymouth and Beefeater Gins. You've got a lot of buddies in the city. So when I went to that kind of soft dopey friends and family, it was like, oh, I know all these people.
Right.
This is great.
Yeah, it was cool, man. It was a really good turnout. And it's been, I guess, about 3 or 4 years that I've kind of been involved in the cocktail industry, the cocktail side of the hospitality industry in New York. And just been able to make good friends. And a lot of people showed a lot of support leading up to opening throughout the whole process of building and conceptualizing Basic. So once we opened the doors, they were all pretty excited about coming. And that was, if you remember, it was a really, like, a crappy night. It was like a really dark and stormy evening. And
yeah, rainy.
Yeah, and people still, they made their way out to Brooklyn, which was cool.
Awesome. Yeah, and it's not like it's too far out of the way. I mean, it's right there in Williamsburg.
Yeah, I mean, it's like super easy to get
to. It's a really awesome location, actually.
It's great, man. I live on the same block, too, and so it was... it was very serendipitous to find a space right next to where I live. But you're right, it's right next to the L train. Mm-hmm. And for most people, it's pretty easy to get to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you started the project, you started first conceptualizing it about a year and a half ago, summer before last. And your business partner owns the Gallery Bar.
He owns Gallery Bar, yeah, on the Lower East Side. And he wanted to do another project anyway. Mm-hmm. And he had thought that he was going to do something else in the city, and then maybe a third place in Brooklyn when he was going to get in touch with me. I guess some of the things didn't work out for him. So we had lunch, it's last June, and he was like, you know, the first question he asked me was, what kind of bar do you want to open? And he didn't give me any leading questions, just kind of opened it up for me. And I was like, you know, I want to open a place that I want to go drink at. You know, I want to have a good cocktail once in a while, and I want bartenders that can make those good cocktails. But I also want, you know, a shot and a can of Budweiser a small bite to eat. And he was like, that's exactly what I want to do. So we kind of hit off right away on all points of what we wanted to do for a place. And it kind of came to be really quickly. And then we were looking for spots all over New York, focusing mostly downtown. And when, you know, things were really expensive and they weren't coming together, and the real estate agents weren't really finding anything that we wanted. We were looking for a corner space specifically. And he was in Cuba, actually. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that. He was not in Cuba.
I think you are. On this show, you can say whatever.
He definitely was definitely not in Cuba on vacation. And it's, something came across, an email I got from a broker. It was like, there's this one spot. And I was like, yeah, I know exactly where it is. It's, you know, two doors away from where I live. So we checked it out, and it was awesome. It wasn't a corner space, but it's got a really big backyard, which you were able to check out, and it kind of worked out. Everything came into place.
And it's really cool. The way that the design came out, you've got on the back bar, you've got this really awesome old rustic mantle that kind of covers the back bar, and then you've got your steps behind that, and in the mantle you've got, you know, like, that's your entire
back bar.
It's really cool.
It's cool, man. And I never really thought about it until once it was up on the wall, but I was like, that's a really big fireplace where that came from.
Oh, it's huge.
You know, some, like, mansion somewhere. We had two guys called Tim Welsh and Robert Stansel, who are architects, and they're friends of Derek's and quickly became friends of mine, and they helped conceptualize a lot of the stuff. And so we went out to Massachusetts, and they have a big field antique show.
Right. Brimfield?
Brimfield, yeah. and they do it twice a year. I think every 6 months they do it.
Yeah,
and
I think it's three times.
Three times
now.
Okay, so we went out there. I guess this spring. Sometimes it was April or May, and just like stumbled upon this mantle. You know, and things aren't crazy expensive, but they're not crazy cheap either.
Right. Really,
well, we found it, and we kind of used that piece to be. To kind of let the concept grow from it.
All right, that's cool.
So everything else is like, you know, a little bit of modern mixed with very rustic and affected. And
it's cool because it's not trying to be like this classic cocktail bar where everything's like gaslit and, you know,
yeah, man, made of brass. Yeah. I mean, there's certainly aspects of it. There's the Edison bulbs and stuff, but, you know.
Well, yeah, but and even like, even going with that, it's like you have really cool lighting fixtures above the bar where it has like basically the shades are like discs that kind of rest on the bulb itself, yeah. So you've got light coming up above and then kind of pulling down below.
It's amazing, man.
It's really cool.
You dig deep enough on the Bowery and you can find some cool stuff.
Yeah, seriously.
But yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, they're so over and the Edison bulb thing, like it's just been played out. I'm like, it's played out because it looks cool.
It looks great.
Yeah. Like, so it took me very little convincing to lean that way. But that's the funnest part about opening a bar, man, the design stuff and making those decisions. And you get to realize that when you say go, people go. You know, when you make that decision, that's the final decision.
Yeah,
which is kind of, it was a first for me. So
it's so much better than dealing with the CVO and your liquor license, God, man, and community board and all that stuff.
It's a nightmare, but
You did it.
We did.
You're on the other side.
We did
now.
It. We've cleared that fence. We've jumped that hurdle.
Cool.
That was the thing that, you know, everyone's like, it's going to take a couple weeks. And you know, I've been in and around the hospitality industry for 13 years, about 13, 15 years. And I was like, with my experience and like, I know what I'm doing and I know what to project, it won't happen to me. No way.
Yeah.
Just, there's no way. And it's inescapable. Inescapable. So we got held up a couple of weeks from that stuff, but nothing too bad.
But you said you first started talking and meeting about this, the concept with your partner a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. but you occupied the space. In like May or June.
Yep, Occupy Graham Avenue. We signed the lease. I guess right at the end of May. So June 1 is when we took it over.
So
and started demolition.
I mean, less than 6 months. You know,
yeah,
get a bar open. That's pretty impressive.
It's good. I mean, we were ambitiously shooting for about a three month build out, which
that's pretty ambitious.
With what we had to do was super ambitious because you know it was a cafe already, but. We had to gut the place and really kind of get into the nooks and crannies and fix a lot of things and clean a lot of things. So I guess with what we did, you know, in hindsight, it's about right. And I'm happy with the length of time. I mean, clearly we would have liked to have been out and open a while ago, but that's just the nature of it.
You know?
Yeah. We have that outdoor space that we wanted to take advantage of the fall with, but the weather's kind of holding up for us. It hasn't been too bad yet, and people are still able to go out and you know have a cigarette and a beer outside if they want comfortably.
Great,
which is nice.
Yeah. So we've talked a little bit about the actual build out and the concept of like the design and everything, which I think it's a beautiful space, and you know people can go online and check out pictures of it from it was on Grubhub or Eater.
It was on Grubhub. Yeah, they took some really quick pictures, which came out really good.
Yeah.
I was very happy. They are. Those are pros, man. They come in, they swoop in for about 10 minutes.
That's what they do all day.
Away. Yeah, it's crazy.
They know exactly what to shoot.
It was good. And I started a Facebook page.
Whoa.
This past week, socially networking my way through the universe, which was interesting. I don't really know what to put on there other than basic info, but people were insisting on it. So, and we're going to get our website up and running soon.
Cool.
Soon. So we'll have some more like the menus on the website and more pictures and stuff like that.
Cool. We also talked a little bit about the concept as far as food and drinks go. Mm-hmm. And you said, you know, obviously it's the kind of place where you want to go and feel comfortable hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, with so many new bars coming around, and especially like cocktail bars.
Yeah.
You know, you talk to people like Frank Cisneros, he's like, dude, all I ever drink is beer and shot.
Yeah.
He's like, I know how to make cocktails, but he's like, what I want is a Budweiser and a shot.
Right.
For Nat or something.
Yeah, exactly, man. And, you know, that was where I was leaning, where I kind of, my gut tells me that's where kind of our industry is heading, you know, and I'm kind of getting away from the quiet standing room or no standing room kind of thing, which is great and it has its place in the industry, but I think, you know, there's a little bit of backlash now, and people kind of want a place where you can, you know, you're sitting around, you're having a drink, you kind of want to have a drink.
You're trying to relax.
Yeah, you want to, you know, you want to laugh loud if you want to, and have a raucous conversation, or not. You know, kind of sit in a dark corner and have a glass of wine if you want.
Totally.
The idea behind Basic is to kind of offer a place that you can come and get what you want, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. You want to come in with, you know, five of your college buddies and drink vodka sodas all night? Great. Welcome. You know, you want to come in and have variations on an Alaska cocktail? I don't know what that would be, but but you can, you know. And and I was lucky enough to get some really badass bartenders. And they're like walking encyclopedias of cocktail knowledge. And I guess the best example of this is Dominic Venegas, who's a friend of mine for a couple of years, and he was out in San Francisco for a long, long time. Great bartender. Mm-hmm. And he was moving to New York, and as he was moving out here, he was like, I'm kind of here about Basic, like, what's the deal? I'm going to want to work when I get there. I was like, look, man, if you want to sling cocktails, this really isn't going to be the spot for you. Like, if you want to, obviously you can probably work most places you want in the city, but if you want to sling beers and shots and hot dogs and, you know, make the occasional Sazerac and Negroni, like, come on over. And he was like, that's exactly what I wanted to get at. So
totally, man. And and you know, there's something so great about that too, because even with your bar set up, you can tell, like, when you walk in, like, as a bartender, like, looking at it, you know, I always like to sit on, like, the corner or the side of the bar so I can look behind and see, like,
I know, I
where the sinks and the ice wells and, like, the dishwashers and everything. I like to see everyone's setup.
Totally.
And even from that, like, I can look back and see all these rad bar tools. You got a lot of, like, Japanese bar tools from, like, Cocktail Kingdom.
Yeah,
but you've also got, like, your spill wells, and everything's, like, set up in a really great way. You've got great ice, you know. And it's totally set up to, like, to blow people's minds with cocktails,
right?
In a very classic sense. But when you walk in, it doesn't feel like you're forced to.
Right. That, well, that's cool. Right.
It's really good.
Thank you for saying that.
All three. I had beer shots and a cocktail.
Well, I think that's a trifecta.
And a bunch of hot dogs.
A Gordie Howe hat trick. that's awesome. And that was the idea, you know, from my end of it. You know, my business partner certainly knows how to run a business from the like the bottom line aspect of it, and I have a little bit more experience with cocktail stuff, so I wanted to make sure we had a car that could go 100 miles an hour, even though it's only going to ever have to idle around 65. You know what I mean? They could bust out cocktails if they need to, but it's not what you have to do there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Well, we've been talking with Jay Zimmerman. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we get back, we're going to continue talking about Basic Bar, but I also want to, like, dig a little bit deeper into, like, this song is awesome, by the way. How you got into it in the first place and where you see yourself going with it.
No,
when we get back, we'll talk more with Jay Zimmerman of Basic Bar in Brooklyn.
But I knew she'd never been inside a bar before, and I felt like a peasant who just had met a queen, and she knew I saw right through her tight-fitting jeans. Ask her, what's a woman like you doing here? I see you're used to champagne, but I'll buy you a beer. She said, you've got me figured out, but I'm not what I seem. And for a dance, I'll tell you about these tight-fitting jeans. She said, I married money, I'm used to wearing pearls, but I've always dreamed of being just a good old boy's girl. So tonight I left those crystal candlelights to live a dream. And partner, there's a tiger in these tight-fitting jeans. We danced every dance, and Lord, the beer that we went through, I'm satisfied I did my best to make her dream come true. As she played out her fantasy before my eyes, it seemed a cowgirl came alive inside those tight mittens.
Welcome back to the Speakeasy. In the studio today, we have Jay Zimmerman of Basic Bar in Brooklyn. We were just discussing the original concept and the opening of this great new bar on 323 Graham, and the way that the industry has been changing as far as the cocktail bartender scene goes, and not only from the bartender's point of view, but the customer side, you know, we talked about what can you do to really please people without making them feel like they're unwelcome, you know. Right, a lot of these places can make you feel very unwelcome.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's the essence of hospitality, I guess. Yeah. You know, I mean, being hospitable and making everyone feel comfortable, no matter what they're there for, who they are, you know.
And you said you've been working in the hospitality industry for 13 years.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
13 and how did you get into it in the first place?
Oh man,
I love these stories. Yeah, I always like to ask.
These are good ones. I started out when I was 14 years old. I started working at the Army Navy Country Club in Washington, D.C., which is a super she buttoned-up country club where the president plays golf. And I was doing manual labor in the tennis department. I was, like, dragging tennis courts. You know? And you had to, like, swallow your pride a little bit because, you know, it's my first job, and it was a hot summer, and it was manual labor out in Virginia, and all these people are around you kind of like bossing you around, like, hey, you know, kid get me that, and kind of have to learn how to please people right off the bat. And from there I stayed in DC and started working at this place called the Willard Hotel, which is one of the oldest hotels in Washington. It's where, like, the term lobbyist was coined. It's an old Politico kind of place.
Oh, cool.
And that is again really buttoned up white glove service kind of place, and I learned a lot about hospitality from that, and, like, how to deal with people and really give them what they want, and kind of try to use that and use those lessons I learned early on, kind of transfer them throughout my life. And yeah, it's worked out pretty well. And I ended up going to school for hospitality management.
Oh, cool.
So I learned on the book side of things too.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how much I learned in college, but I studied it for sure. And took it from there into my career in New York.
That's great. It's always funny to me, like, when people like bartenders and waiters in the New York City, or, well, it's really anywhere, mm-hmm. But specifically in New York City, I've always noticed that you get the question a lot of times, like, so what do you do?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm a bartender, like, I'm a general manager of a restaurant. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, but what do you really want to do? Are you, like, an artist or musician?
Are you a model? Yeah.
Like, well, I have done some music, and they're like, oh, so that's what you want to do. It's like, no, dude. I'm here because I want to be here.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people have gone to school for hospitality services, mm-hmm. and it's really cool when you hear that from someone, rather than someone who started out in the hospitality industry as a means to do something
else. Means to make an end. You know,
right.
Make ends meet while you're doing something else.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I'm gonna start telling people that I'm a male model. for those of you out there, if you've never seen me, that's very funny. I mean, I've worked in, I started in New York anyway, in more nightclubby, loungy kind of scenarios where there were a lot of people like that who were actors, who were models, who were pretty faces, and they just were doing this to make those couple $100 on a Friday night.
Yeah.
And that's a tough situation, man. Getting those people to really be hospitable to people and really take the job seriously is not always an easy thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, it gives sometimes the rest of the industry a bad rap, you know?
You know, but we're crusaders for a good cause, I guess. You know? We're the ones who mean it.
Absolutely. And obviously, you were meant to do it because you do a great job at it.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks.
The last place that I saw you bartend before being at Basic, which actually, when I was at Basic, mm-hmm. you weren't bartending because it was your opening night.
I know.
Like, you're hanging out, and that's what you're supposed to do. But the last time I saw you bartend, the last few times were at Mary Queen of Scots.
Yeah.
And you actually worked with some of my buddies there.
Yeah. With Nate Dumont and Jim Kearns.
Jim Kearns, yeah.
And TJ Lynch. And Marcin Frankowiak. We had a great opening staff there. It was cool. It was a fun little restaurant. And, like, I think that's what drew me there, was we were able to get this crew of people that I really wanted to be with day in and day out.
Yeah.
And hang out and bartend with them. And it was a fun situation. It didn't last too long, but it was great while it lasted, for sure.
Do you feel like that experience kind of, like, sharpen your skills as a bartender? Because, like, it's that, for people who don't know, Mary Queen of Scots and the other bar they own, Highlands, mm-hmm. they're both Scotch-forward
bars, yeah.
But they're cocktail-forward.
Huge.
And Scotch cocktails aren't really necessarily the easiest thing.
No. Actually, we were just chatting about this earlier, but it grew my knowledge of Scotches, blended, single malt, what have you, exponentially. And I learned tons and tons and tons about a specific spirit And I would encourage any young bartenders, if they can, to work at a spirit-specific or spirit-forward bar.
Like a tequila bar.
Like a tequila, like Maya Well is a great example of tequila and mezcal bar. You learn so much about it, and you learn how to use it and flavor profiles. And scotch was an interesting one because there's so many scotches and so many different kinds of scotch. And it was cool, and I grew to love it. I didn't really love scotch beforehand, and I really, really do enjoy it now.
So. Yeah. And speaking of that, you know, with spirit-specific bars, obviously they're there out of enthusiasm for the product, but they're mostly there to educate as well.
Yeah.
And on the educational side, you've also worked as a brand rep for a couple different gin companies.
Yeah.
And the role of the brand rep, brand ambassador job is to educate not only, you know, the bartenders and the bar owners, but the consumers as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you did that for a little while, and that's also around the time that I met you.
Yeah, that's how we met. You were one of my accounts,
right?
At Prime Meats, and you know, that's an interesting job because you get to. You're there. I was there specifically. My job was to take care of the bartenders and make sure that they were happy with the brand and to teach them about the brand and what it was and how to use it. And then from that point on, to let that grow into consumers and having them taste it and having them taste cocktails with it. But not every bar is Prime Meats and not every bar is, you know, PDT or Death & Company, you know. Sometimes you're going into places where there's some resistance and they're not exactly excited about a brand person being there. They want they'd rather have that bar seat filled up with customer. So you got to kind of be a little bit more convincing to different walks of life and different people. And it was interesting. I learned a ton about how to deal with bartenders and from that side of the bar, from the other side of the bar. When you have a corporate card, you know, it's an interesting conversation. I had some experiences where managers were like, we would like you to leave, please. And I was like, I don't understand. I'm literally just here to spend, like, just swipe my card and there's a couple hundred bucks in your till. And he's like, no, that's not how we do things here. I was like,
wow.
Okay. I didn't really understand it, but you know.
That's kind of shocking. I would never expect that.
It's interesting.
Anyway. But obviously, that's going to happen in any kind of industry, I guess.
For sure.
But I, that's kind of strange for me to wrap my head around that is, especially with like brands like Plymouth and Beefeater, you know, which are great brands.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and you know,
you're not pushing like cotton candy, Three Olives vodka or something like that.
Sure. Not that it's bad. Okay, it is kind of bad. But they're pretty well, very well respected brands. Beefeater's obviously got a huge brand recognition thing going on in Plymouth. In the cocktail industry, is very well recognized. Maybe in smaller markets, it's not as much. But it was easier doing it for a brand that I believed in.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
and something that I used day in and day out. So that was encouraging for me.
So I like this. I like that you've worked on every side.
I've kind of tackled it backwards too. You know, I started in management and then moved my way into bartending. So,
So that obviously has helped you put this bar together, and and also again, congratulations on it.
Thank you very much.
Where do you see? I mean, I know you just got this one open,
yeah.
But I think everyone has like their 5 to 10 year plan, especially when you get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
Do you have any plans for opening up more places or any plans for this place coming up as far as events, style?
It's hard to put yourself in that mindset of, you know, how do I look forward when this just opened? This is such a massive life-changing event. But the idea for us, we laid out a 5-year plan of opening up one, maybe two more spots in New York and then maybe looking somewhere out west, probably the Pacific Northwest somewhere. And then, you know, kind of see where we land from there. At that point, I will be married and... You know, maybe looking to start a family. Who knows? Who knows where life's going to take you?
Totally.
You know,
that's very true.
Young, strapping gentlemen like us, we got some time ahead of us, luckily.
You know, going back on that, I mean, the Empire State, the Empire State of Mind, like where you're, you know, it's, people aren't really necessarily satisfied with, you know, owning just one place anymore, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And also, it's like guys like you, you've got many ideas for different places.
Yeah.
And especially like with restaurateurs in the city, you know, for the last, you know, 30 years, having multiple places and just kind of, you know, if you're just as passionate about, you know, Spanish food as you are about like barbecue, it's like You're not going to mix those two. You're going to make two different places.
Yeah, totally.
You know, so and we're starting to see that a lot more with bars and bar owners. And again, it's a very exciting time for that. It's a very exciting time for any new bar opening, just because you can have a really comfortable place that can you can walk in and have a beer and a shot, yeah, and have a classic cocktail, or you know, the house is like modern proprietary cocktail.
Yeah.
But you don't feel like you have to do either one of the two. You can just hang out. And it's really cool to have, at least I think so, it's really cool to have those different dynamics. It's like when you go into Sasha Petrasky's joints, mm-hmm, they're all, I think they're pretty different. Like, yeah, you know,
they're different but the same. You know, they're, yeah, you can tell a Sasha joint, but yeah, they all feel very different. And that's, you know, that's a terrific compliment to him. And a lot of people have been successful doing that. And that's the idea for me, is that, you know, I'm starting this at a younger age than most. You know, I'm 28 years old, so I'm owning my first business before I'm 30. I'm trying to get a couple more going in the city, and then, like I said, out west. And it's a trying thing. It's not an easy experience to get through. So in my head, I think I want to like try and get this all done before I'm 40, so I can kind of just operate at that point of being stressed day in and day out.
You know, I think the main thing to think about with the bar that you own now, and like the bar that we're all going to be opening, the bars that we're going to be opening, is just, I think it all comes down to just the recognition of quality. Mm-hmm. I think quality sells more than any trend gimmick. You know, it's like, right, you know, like, say, you know, like bitters are really popular right now. I mean, they should be, because they're important for cocktails.
Yeah.
But recognizing, you know, the quality of any product, or, you know, be it like an ingredient they're using in a drink, the food you're serving, or just the entire idea as a whole, is the most important thing.
Yeah, man, I think that's transferable across a couple of different, most industries.
Yeah.
I'd be hard pressed to think of something that everyone across the board can say, man, that was awesome, and the service was great, and the price was great, and, you know, just my experience overall was fantastic. And then to see a place like that just kind of disappear, it's more rare than the place that's gimmicky, or, you know, looking for a cheap buck.
Yeah. Man, it's been my pleasure having you on the show today. I've been wanting to do this for a while, and I'm so glad that your bar is open. I'm going to be there a lot.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Especially on Wednesdays after the show.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. This is
absolutely
fun.
Man. Do you have the website ready yet?
We don't. It's gonna. We have the domain.
Okay.
We have basicbrooklyn.com, BASIK, spelled phonetically. So look for that soon. Again, the Facebook page is up. So there's information out there if people want to check it out.
Excellent. Jay Zimmerman from Basic Bar in Brooklyn. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, dude.
And we'll see you next week on Speakeasy. Cheers.
Yay! That cat is high. Look, that look in his eye. Oh, man, he's high. Yes, higher than a kite.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.
Yes, he's high. Man, he's higher than a guy.
The following is a message from Jones Family Farms. Looking for that perfect Christmas tree this season? What about the perfect wine to go with your holiday dinner? Look no further than Jones Family Farm, a 400-acre working farm in Connecticut. Jones Family Farms is as passionate about education as it is about farming. Whether you're picking fresh strawberries or exploring local wines, we hope you're inspired to learn more about Connecticut farming. For more information, visit www.jonesfamilyfarms.com. This is a message from Vegan Pop-Up Shop. Looking for the perfect holiday gift for that special vegan in your life? Come down to the Vegan Holiday Shop Up Sunday, December 4th from 12 to 5 p.m. at the Pine Box Rock Shop in Bushwick. There you'll find a wide array of vegan-friendly treats, eats, fashions, and home goods. From soy wax candles to homemade hot sauce, the Vegan Holiday Shop Up has your vegan present needs covered. So come down early and stay late and enjoy a spicy Bloody Mary while you're there, and maybe leave with something extra for yourself.